Colossians 3:17 says, "And whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus." And we know that. We know we're supposed to be a representative, which means in many cases we're going to be the ones that'll have to start a spiritual conversation. People are not necessarily going to walk up to us and say, "Tell me about Jesus, I'm lost." And we know we should, but instead it's just easier to talk sports or talk about the weather or say, "How you doing?" "Yeah, I'm fine. How are you?" "Well, good. Good to see you." And I guess we don't get into conversations sometimes out of fear. We don't want to be thought of as a moron. Lack of time. We don't want to get a conversation started because it may suck us in for hours. Possibly lack of confidence. We don't know what we're going to say and may feel like we're going to say the wrong thing. Sometimes it's our personality. We're maybe introverts and don't feel like sharing with others, or we're not sure of good techniques. Well, let's talk about some ways that we can overcome these and engage people. And I think the first thing we want to do, the best thing, is just to ask questions. If you're the one asking, the other person is doing the responding. The pressure's not on you. In fact, it can be a pressure-free situation. So, questions like this: what do you think happens when you die? That's a terrific opening, isn't it? When you're sitting around talking with a friend, going up to a stranger, that's probably a little awkward, but if it's a friend, what do you think happens when you die? And notice you're not talking God, the Bible, heaven, and it'll give you a really good idea of where this person is as far as a worldview. Maybe he or she will say, "Oh, when you die, you just go on the ground and that's it." Well, that's a materialistic perspective suggesting we don't have a soul. And you can just let it go at that point. Or you can go on and say, "Oh, so you don't think we have a soul." And so you've got a conversation starter there. They may say, "I'll probably be reincarnated. It's karma." And then that takes you down a road of talking about Buddhism or whatever. Karma's got all sorts of problems. But we won't talk about that right now. But do you see that takes you down a different approach? Maybe the person will say, "Oh, I'll go to heaven and God will look at my good deeds and bad deeds. I've been a pretty good person. I'll probably be fine." And that takes you in a third direction, doesn't it? At least they believe in a God, but they think that being good gets you into heaven. And then you can explore ways that that's not, and it's not going to be the case. It's not going to be good for them. But that's a great question. And what happens to you when you died? And they are the ones that are going to have to respond. Here's another question, a little more forceful perhaps. Why should God let you into heaven? Now, they may reject God, okay, but if they don't reject God, you've got a good starter there. Why should God let you into heaven? How about this? Somebody is going through some tough times, and you say, "Is there anybody that's helping you? Can I help you?" And then this question: do you have spiritual resources? And you see what that does? Again, you're not talking God necessarily, but it sure opens up a whole new field that you can get involved with there. Here's one that's just totally disarming, and it keeps you from being on the hot seat. You find out the person is a Jehovah's Witness, the person is a New Ager, the person is a Muslim, and you just ask, "How did you become a Mormon, a Jehovah's Witness, a New Ager, whatever? How did you become one? What do you think some of the good things have been that have come out of it? Do you ever have any doubts about it?" I mean, it's a wide open field, isn't it, there? Or maybe you ask questions. "Hey, did you see that TV show last night? Hey, did you see that latest movie that just came out?" And you see you're making a connection with a person there. Something else you can do. So good questions. I think that's the first thing, to always ask questions. Here's another really good way to engage. Be aware of surroundings. Now, what do I mean by that? Look at what the person is wearing, what they're reading, if they've got a book with them, even the car they drive. Maybe they have tattoos, or they've got a t-shirt, or they're carrying a book under their arm. And you can look at that and say, "Oh, that's interesting." And it's possible that it'll have some kind of a spiritual connection. Even things like bumper stickers. I saw one that said, "Honk if you love Jesus, text if you want to see him." Now, that's funny, but it's got Jesus right in there. How about those bumper stickers that say coexist? Boy, is that a great conversation starter. Here's another way to engage people. I call it go fishing. And what you do, like when you fish, you throw out some bait and see what goes for it, where the nibbles start happening. So you just drop some hints. You say, hey, I saw this movie last night that was pretty interesting. And you mention a Christian film. And they may say, oh, that's nice, and that's it. Or they may say, oh, what was that about? So you've got a way to get going, or you don't. That's okay. You just drop a hint. See if they get interested. Maybe it's some place you went. Maybe you can say something as simple as, hey, last Sunday our pastor was talking about something or other. And they may pick up on that and say, what church do you go to? Or they may ignore it. Okay, well, that's fine. You're just throwing some bait out there and see what happens. You probably want to be careful, though, talking about Bible and Christian and church, because a lot of people see those as negatives and they may start going, ah, you're one of those fundamentalists. So it might be a little careful on that. Maybe you just carry a book with you, something like Lee Strobel's Case for Christ, C.S. Lewis, even Tolkien, Lord of the Rings. He was a Christian. Maybe it's a t-shirt that you have. Here's something else you can do. React to the culture that's around us. React to what's in the newspaper. For example, recently there's been some abortion laws passed in different states that are very open to abortion. And abortion's back on the front burner again. People are talking about abortion. So it gives you an opening there. Maybe it's a movie that has a message. I mentioned God's Not Dead. Okay, so something like that's out there. Maybe it's a song, a popular song. By the way, there's a really good organization called axis.org. That's A-X-I-S, like spinning on your axis. So axis.org, and they take popular culture, especially songs and movies and things like that, and talk about the worldview that's shown in them and how a Christian should react to them. So if you've got kids that are interested in songs, there's a way to get good conversations going. Maybe it's a TV show. It could be a show that involves some kind of spiritual nature. I think there was one with Morgan Freeman a while back called In Search of God. So there's something like that that'll be on often that you can get a conversation going. Maybe it's a book, The Da Vinci Code. Oh my goodness, that book sold like crazy. Christians should have been using that as a springboard, talking about that book to show how awful that was as far as theology and history and art, and of course got it all wrong about the New Testament. But what a great place to start with a book. One last way to engage somebody, I just call it points of contact. So let me give you an example. Paul was good at looking for a point of contact, meaning you're trying to connect your message to something in that person's life that's important. And you say, oh, I will connect what I want to say to that person's comfort zone, pop culture, for example. So here's Paul as an example. In Acts 17, he comes into Athens and he says this. Now I'm skipping a few lines along the way. I see that you're very religious. I even found an altar with this inscription, to an unknown God. Now what you worship is something unknown. I'm going to proclaim to you, the God who made the world does not live in temples, and he is not served by human hands. And then he quotes a Greek poet, for in him we live and move and have our being. As some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. Now isn't that interesting? What did Paul do? Let's back up. He goes into the city and he sees altars to this god and that god and another god. And the Athenians were a little concerned that maybe they'd left a god out. And they didn't want to leave a god out. So they have one altar that says basically, in case we left you out, we're sorry, and it's to an unknown God. And Paul says, see that statue over there? See that altar? I'm going to talk to you about that unknown God. And then he's probably really close to the temples there, and he says, the God who made this world doesn't live in temples, and he points to those temples. He's making contact with something they're comfortable with. And then he quotes their own poets. He knew their culture well enough that he could use that as a connecting point between their culture and his message. So what would be some points of contact for us? Well, it's going to be mutual areas of interest or concerns. And I would suggest a magazine called World, WORLD, World Magazine. What they do is connect Christianity, because it's a Christian magazine, connects that with the world out there. So it's got a section on sports, it's got a section on science, it's got a section on movies, politics. And what that allows you to do then is to find out what people are talking about, what they're worried about, what their current fad is, and it allows you to make a contact then when you talk Christianity with them. And there's plenty of websites that do that, and it's nice because these points of contact avoid conflict. You're not going to them and saying your soul's in danger and this and that, and getting people's defensive screens up for you. You're just making a contact with something they already like, and you're setting up a relationship. And another thing I like about points of contact is it's a contact, it's not a disconnect. I mean, if you walk up to somebody and say, the Bible teaches, there's no point of contact there. Well, I shouldn't say no point, but not much of a one, because people don't read the Bible anymore. You could have said that 100 years ago. But today, you reference the Bible, people are not interested in that. So there's a disconnect. They're not going to come to you and want to follow that relationship. It's gone. Better to say, hey, do you hear that movie star said da 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 da, and you're off and running. So what are some points of contact we might use? Maybe love of nature. Maybe somebody you know loves to go to Yosemite. My wife and I do. So love of nature, the beauty, the awe-inspiring beauty of nature might be a way to begin talking about the grandeur of God. Maybe it's a moral issue, possibly a school shooting. I know several years back there was some kind of shooting, and the headline of the paper was an act of evil. And just using that word evil is an interesting way to start talking about morality and talking about Christianity and how it views morality. Maybe it's the area of history. You're studying something about the growth of religions. That would be a good way to get a point of contact going. Could be aesthetics. Somebody loves art, they love music, they love literature. Good ways to take that information and connect it with Christianity. Maybe it's a sense of God they have, or a sense of eternity. You know, for example, you hear things like this: well, I'm spiritual, not religious. Boy, there's an opener. You can talk about spirituality. You know, for example, I've heard Greg Kokel say, when he hears, I'm spiritual, not religious, he says to that person, of course you are. You're built to be spiritual. You have a spirit within you. It's a soul. And there you go. You're off and running. You're connecting. Maybe it's a hunger for value and purpose that you hear people say. They're wondering, what's it all about? Why am I here? And you can connect on that level, especially some of the, seems like the pop music these days, and certainly the paintings and all sorts of things seem to reflect a real grim, purposeless view of the world. And so you can connect with them and talk about that. How about some last thoughts here? Here's a key one as you think about doing a spiritual conversation. Do we have to win people to Jesus? Well, no. God's one who's in charge. He saves people. We just simply are faithful. That's all we have to be, faithful. We have to get that conversation started, but it's up to God how it's going to go. And our goal should be small, just a stone in somebody's shoe. We don't need to take them to the cross of Jesus unless they're eager and hungry for that. Fine, let's do it. But maybe at first it's just getting that conversation started, getting a relationship going. And you know what the point of all of this is? Everything we've been talking about here about getting a spiritual conversation going, the point is, as limited as we might feel and as fearful as we might be or as busy as we are, we have to get in the game. Nobody else is going to do it for us. Nobody else knows the people we know. And it's up to us to be thinking and looking for those openings that we can move and begin to share the love of Jesus with these individuals.